think what I wanted to go back to was when you were in New York in 1912, and you were part of the United Network.
That's the makers.
Mm-hmm. How many women were in the show?
Oh, at that time, there were about, I should say, they had about 1,000 women working together. Because it was primarily women, about 90% or 85% of the show, the men were the mostly operators, directors, and cutters.
Yeah, it was basically male.
Yes.
So, but how did women get into it? I mean, what were they allowed to do?
Oh, they finished the next fair, you see, after the operator made it. It went to the presser, then they finished, they put in lining, and it sold to the dump at the middle, the finisher stick.
And you were paid less?
Of course, for what you think.
So that's how you got involved in the union?
Yeah, sure, kind of. And they tried to unionize the non-union. No matter how little it was paid in the union shop, still less was paid in the non-union shop.
Were the men union in the union at that time?
Yes. If it was a union shop, the men were in the union too.
Okay. Now, another thing was Emma Goldman, American singer, opened up a clinic in New York, a birth control clinic in New York around 1914.
No, my dear. They weren't allowed to open it. But they advocated for a birth control. A clinic was not permissible. A birth control clinic was not permissible.
Oh, well, there was no birth control clinic.
Oh, no. This is already way, way later than they became where they were allowed to use the word birth control before it was taboo.
Right. Okay.
They just gave virtual advice at meetings, and then after a meeting they went into a room Margaret Sanger was primarily on birth control. These were for babies, but Emma Goldman was involved in the anti-labor movement. She was an anarchist.
Yeah.
Yes, but she advocated for at that time no government. But later on they changed their mind that it has to be some more.
Because, there had to be some more within the union.
In between the anarchist cycles too. Before, we don't need a chairman. So at the meeting, it was chaotic. Everybody screamed, everybody talked, there was no one to stop them. Finally, they realized that they had a chairman. And they have to have some rules. If you don't get the floor, shut up. Keep quiet.
Was that while you were in New York? Oh, that kind of, it didn't happen once you joined the union?
No, this had nothing to do with the union. This had to do between the anarchist cycle.
I see.
Okay. That's right.
No. Now, we were interested also in knowing the kinds of experiences you had dealing with labor management. Well, I think you probably had closer contact maybe when you were a business agent.
I'll tell you, while I was in New York, it was still a man's world, 200% men's world. They allowed the women to be organizers, to try to organize shops, go here, go there. But as far as management concerned, it was primarily men.
Mm-hmm. So, what kind of interaction did you have? Like, were there arguments? That's when you pickered it?
Well, I'll tell you, at that time, it was taken for granted. That meant too much. Well, there were a few rebels that rebelled. It's how it starts with one or two, and then if a rebel like Emma Goldman, she protested. She realized that we all realized that women are just as capable as men, and here came in the question: the home, the children. You are not allowed to work late hours. You are not allowed to go out at night on many cases, which the leadership fought for. Now it's just the reverse.
Yeah, I think we were discussing that part. Okay, so that's basically, you were in that one strike and got arrested. But you had, there were a lot of strikes in New York, or not as many as in Los Angeles.
I don't know at that time how they had. Los Angeles in the early 20s was still considered an open town. In open town was kept labor, and it was a big one.
I think even up through the 30s, it was, they still had a lot of open shops.
Oh, they have open shops now, too.
They still have, but
due to unionization of other shops, the office shops, they became more giving. They used to give the workers a ticket for Christmas, you know, it's supposed to mess them up. And then, in some non-union shops, they even paid higher wages in order for the workers not to join the union.
Did you ever have know people that signed slips that said they got certain wages and then they got paid less, and that was the deal?
I didn't know about that.
What about, you were already out here around 1930 or 1920, and then when did you exactly go into the union here? Because I remember, I was unclear. I know you got married in 1920. When did you have your first baby?
About 2 years later. I joined the union in time of depression. In fact, when I retired, I'm retired in 68. And till that time, I was already 30 years a member of the International Ladies Garment Workers Union. And now that you have 12 years of intervention, and I retired as such in 68.
You combined your like marriage and your, I guess the mother, this year, political activity.
Okay.
Which is unusual.
How
were you able to do that?
First of all, I had a very understanding husband. He didn't say, where are you going? Where are you running? Where are these? Where are you? He was their home body. He liked it. And he came from the day's work. He liked to stay home. So I was free to go out.
Oh, and that's why. Because it's very unusual for anybody to, at that time anyway, to be able to free themselves from the house.
Although my children were never neglected, and my house wasn't neglected either. And so it worked out. I had no problem.
Did you ever hear of Israel Feinberg?
Oh, yes, Israel Feinberg. He's from the International Ladies Garment Workers Union. Yeah, he was the father of the retirement fund.
Oh, really?
Yes. He was the one who established, I think, that the first retirement fund in America.
He was the Pacific Coast director of the union.
He was here at the same time. Now they have his son, Robert Feinberg, that is the union today.
Let's see. I came to LA in about 33.
Yeah, for a while, you see.
He was against, he used to fight, this was going on a long time after, 1920, when there was disagreements between socialism and communism.
he had nothing to. Of course, he was for against fights in the union. Yeah. He was against communism.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he was against. Yeah, but his main job, his main purpose is in the union. He was vice president. Then he established the retirement fund.
So he was working with women.
Oh, of course, at that time, we were men in our industry as far as everything. Of course, now the machine took over a lot of headlock. I remember when I became business agent, I went into the shop. It was considered one of the most exclusive, even small, epic shops. And they manufactured very expensive garments. To one operator, they had about 4 or 5 pencils, tailors, facetones, butt sewers, finishers. This is eliminated now. They don't need so much work in the garment, and then who buys expensive suits now? Now the young girls. The trend of fashion has changed, so the operation has changed.
Okay, and around the 1930s, they started, I think it was when the cattle came back to Los Angeles, organized some kind of picketing. You know that they had the style show every year?
Yes.
Were you ever involved in those kind of picketing?
They picketed wherever it was necessary. Okay. Now, therefore, the union called up this and this shop in this and this business agent hill. Pick it here and there.
I see. Did you have to have, like, permission to pick it?
At the union park.
Now...
of course, then the certain manufacturer, the shop, they pick it now, the May company, too.
Then right now?
Right now! Okay. Yes, against the importations that come so far people from jobs.
Abrams or Rose Harrington. The reason I'm asking her is I think these were women who were involved in the union movement really in the early 20s up here.
No, I know.
And when Rose Posada returned, she initiated a new movement around 1930. I understood.
No, I failed to think about new movements. What I signed up was organized. That's all.
Just organize them?
Organize the workers in the shops. Office to approach shops that were stubborn.
Okay.
Yeah, she did not introduce, not to my knowledge. Her job was to organize.
What were you doing at that time? Were you, you weren't a business
agent? Oh, no. I became a business agent.
Yeah. So while you were just in the union, what were you doing?
Oh, we picketed.
You were still picketed?
Oh, yes. We were assigned. Every shop was assigned to picket the certain non-union shop.
And did you know about sewing schools?
Yes, the union had their sewing schools here, trying to teach. Because, you see, we also fought for a closed shop. There the discrepancy, poor Cesar Chavez lost out because he insisted on a closed shop. A closed shop means if you are the manufacturer and you need workers, you call up the union. And the union sends you workers. That is a closed shop. The union has control of the workers who ever go. We didn't have so many experienced workers, so we made schools to teach them. Because otherwise the manufacturer calls, who did you send it? Da, 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 da. I could pick out the girls on the street and say, come on, you know how to sew. And my girl doesn't know how to hold the needle, you know. So then fit for the reason.
Were there, like out here, there were a lot of Mexicans. Were they the girls? Were they involved in the schools at all? I mean, who was going to the school?
Those who didn't know how to sew.
Just it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Just as long as you didn't know.
In fact, it's a union that was the, we had a lot of black workers in our shop. Oh man, you see the trouble with them started in New York. By the way, they wanted to become managers. How to deal with employers, how to approach them.
You had all, that's basically, you knew how to do that.
I think so.
Well, a business agent.
Oh, sure, a business agent deals with them. Then the boss directly, a manager cannot go to every shop and ever there is a complaint.
So you would handle the complaint?
Oh, the complaints, sure.
Which were like, oh, you told me that.
So. Yeah, well, some workers were. We are primarily interested that the worker should be efficient. The work should be right, otherwise, oh, I got cancellation. The worker, especially now they have machine buttons. Mm-hmm. Before, a good garment had a handmade buttonhole. It was blindly made by the machine. The finisher had to cut it. And it has to be, it was measured right. The operator made it right, but some finishes they didn't care. One was a half an inch longer, one can go dangerously. Any buyer, any customer, the point she looks at on the front and on the bottom.
Okay. Back to an off the subject a little bit. I wanted to ask you this before and I forgot. You were still in New York, I think, when the Pomeranz were occurring. You know, but after the Red Scare, anyway, were any of your friends with us? Because I think that I heard like you were Russian and looked and for no other reason than being Russian.
Oh, it was the Red Scare here too. They called them who was the police commissioner. That hindsight thing, if I'm not wrong, he was a volunteer.
And they came into the unions to get rid of the people?
They tried to, their scarecrow was communism. That's all right or wrong. That was their scarecrow. The people, communism. We fought communism in a constructive way. The dam was just to break humans.
So were any of your friends with us?
Oh, yes, Emmett. No, I don't know. The only one that was deported was Emma Goldman, Alexander Goodman.
Did you find, while you were working here in the labor union, a problem with the discrimination of people coming into L.A. all the time?
Tell you, we did not find this a problem, but we wanted they should come in legally, just as we have now. It's across the border, in the cities, they bring in all kinds. The way we spoke about it, when we immigrants came in, we were checked and examined and rechecked and re-examined.
But it wasn't hard to organize because there were so many new people coming in all the time.
It's hard to organize. There was a certain class of people, which were not the Jewish people. With them, unionism was a matter of life. They came in huge.
But the other people here had to teach.
And next came the Italian, not the other. there you go again. Why pay dues? Why should we pay dues? And we have, don't mention the title. One belongs to a union. To a union had a book, and at that time, with certain groups of people, the union demanded the photograph on their union card, because they used to duplicate the union card and give it to 4, 5, 6 of their members.
Oh, I see. For voting and things like that.
Okay. It's take them in the shop. Here's my union card. Here's my union book.
Did you ever hear of Louis Pine?
Oh, yeah. Sure, he was manager at some time.
Did he have anything to do with
it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There was even a kibbutz named after him in Israel.
Now here he had, well, he was with the shirt makers.
No. The shirt makers?
No.
In
New York.
In New York. Here they didn't have a shirt. Then here he was with the cloth. Yeah, in the International Ladies' Comics Workers Union. I knew him very well.
Okay, now the manufacturers were fighting against the union. Supposedly they had certain blacklists against the leaders, you know, who would come into the shop. They would not rehire them or hire them. Did you ever?
There was a certain sort of discrimination. And then at that time, when a manufacturer needed to qualify for it.
Okay, now you were a business agent for the finisher.
Local 68.
Right. Now, they had a problem because they would continuously need to be on the job, but they only worked a little at a time, right?
No, they worked. If that was work, they kept on working. 8 hours a time.
They did work 8 hours a day.
Yes. Here already. Yes. But the start in the early, at the turn of the century, there was no limit to their hours. You've seen the picture of the carrier bundle and pass their head for homework.
Yeah, well, no, what I meant was, I think that in some cases there wasn't anything to do. So they worked, they'd have to be there all day, and yet they'd only get paid just
an
hour at a time.
Work.
Right.
Yeah. You see, our place was primarily piecework.
Right.
And as far as piecework, the manufacturer doesn't care. You want to hang around, if there's no work, hang around. He's not going to take it. Because we had to turn in a picket. If I got a garment to finish a garment, this garment had a picket. Finishing buttonholes and this and that. We got paid as many tickets as we take
it. Is it different now?
You see, I think it's more time work, which is better.
Was the union fighting against that?
You'll be surprised the workers wanted this than time work. Because they say we have liberty, no one is watching us.
Okay.
No. And only the cabals were time workers.
At that time.
Okay, all the time, since its earlier inception.
Okay. You were here all that time, and they were striking here too. Now, were people being arrested? But you had never, the only time you were...
No, I was just in
New York.
Just
in
New York.
Well, there were some women that had been interviewed that were thrown into jail. And they had associations at that time. They were thrown in jail as prostitutes and things like that. And we just interested in the association and what happened.
If a striker gets arrested, they know there the union will come and eventually bail them out in no time. That's what it was. While there they threw me with penetration. So, no striker was ever kept in jail for long time, for a day or so, as soon as they could pass it, unless there was severe violence.
I had asked you earlier in the tape about who was the woman organizer who became vice president of the garment union. You said she just recently died.
Rose Pizzuta.
Oh, that's who it was? Because you said, oh, you were trying to read it. It was Rose. I said, oh, okay. I wanted to go back about that. Now, one other question about school. You said you went to the Rand School.
Yeah, it's a political science. Socialism in a house of his speaking. In a house of corner, put one on the spot. But they are talking about that thing he never read about. And it strikes me, well, after this time, they have a lot of comedy. Oh, I read this book. Just take one chapter. What does it say? What did you take out from this work? Of course they don't know. They haven't read it.
I see.
To eliminate phonies, impossible.
But that are trying to get into the...
No, trying to play big intellectuals and don't know anything.
Do they still try to get the organizers and the rank and file like they did before?
This is primarily the best the union can do. You cannot hire an organizer. You have to have the feel, the touch of the shop in order to be a good organizer. In the good session. Yeah, at that time, all our labor leaders, the president, they name he comes from the banking side. They know the hotel. Mimi, the president from the Federation of Valencia.
Because I thought that was the way it was run. You had to have been there to understand.
You see, it doesn't work out. You cannot take out a boy or a girl from college. Go ahead, organize.
I'd like to finish this up with, I don't know, a little more detail about your family life. We just sort of skimmed over that, and how your being so active may be affected for the better or for the worse.
It didn't affect either way. Children not for the worse.
Mm-hmm.
Children not. Because the way I said, the children are not.
As a matter of fact, though, they must have, like, your one daughter is very active herself, so were you teaching them while you were
hit from
the atmosphere?
The atmosphere, it was, but they hide in the house, it's union, this official is not good, and that official, the police commissioner is not good. This was the talking house.
When you were, like, business agent, or even before that, you had to deal with congressmen and senators? Not at all. You weren't fighting against that.
We fought in time of election. We endorsed our candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And we were campaigning for them.
Still.
We are still doing it.
The people who were behind the union.
Yeah.
Because sure. LA is still not totally unionized. There are a lot of places.
You're sure. L.A. is big, and especially now that they claim that about 2 million illegal immigrants in America, and most of them in L.A.
And you're working on that right now?
Sure, people are fighting them. Yes, there are a lot of some of the stuff, you see, the manufacturers, the reaction, the kind of great humanitarians. Why not give the poor people a chance to come in here in better their life? They raise them, they cut them the living conditions of millions of Americans that pay taxes in their families.
Are you a member of a voluntary group, or are you just now? No. You just, what do you like when you say you go to meetings and what you're doing now? Bring this to a conclusion and that's what you're doing now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we are doing now. I belong, I told you, to the Franklin Circle. Yeah, I also belong to the Jewish Labor Committee. In the Jewish Labor Committee is also branched out into many fields of helping. And we are primarily now raise money for scholarships there. Everything is over. They need about 90% of the dollar for military hardware. And they cannot even afford to give their youth high school education, so we raise money for scholarships.
So they're actually more involved with Israel now than the union.
Here the union delivers to them, they have faith organizers.
Now, well, when you were there, you did it.
Let them do it. Yes. Indirectly, they are not dormant. They have other activities.
I see. Okay. Well, I think that would conclude our meeting.